Well, today is celebrated across the Christian world as Pentecost Sunday. I don't know if you're aware of that. We're all familiar with Christmas, which is the time we celebrate when Jesus came to earth, God in human form. And Pentecost is the time we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't get quite the attention that Christmas does, or the attention maybe that Jesus does. But this Sunday has been set aside as a Sunday to celebrate that occurrence. We find that occurrence in Acts chapter 2, but we're not actually going to get to Acts chapter 2 today. We'll get to that in the future. But I want to talk a little bit, first of all, about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit and what is His role in our lives? Now, if you were to ask believers around the country or unbelievers who the Holy Spirit was, you would get a variety of answers. We see in the King James Version that it's translated the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of the word ghost, it makes me think of things that probably aren't associated with the Holy Spirit. I think of mysterious, scary, white, shadowy creatures that are flitting around, maybe in dark places. The spirits of dead people. Depending on how many movies you've watched of scary movies, you have your own pictures of what either Hollywood or somebody has given you an idea of what a ghost looks like. But the Holy Spirit, although it does not have a body, is very much unlike what our picture of the word ghost is. And so I think that word can send us down a wrong path when we think about who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is also sometimes viewed as a force, an impersonal force, maybe something not unlike Star Wars or the magic employed by Harry Potter, for example. People who have access to it can control this supernatural force to carry out what they want to accomplish. It's never connected to any real person or being. And you've probably heard, if you're familiar with Star Wars, "May the Force be with you," is a saying that is found throughout all of those movies. Well, it's true that the Holy Spirit is powerful and can accomplish really any supernatural thing. But the Bible clearly refers to the Holy Spirit as a personal being, like God the Father and Jesus the Son of God. Well, others have associated the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues and other intense expressions of emotion. Some of you are probably familiar with the holy laughter which broke out at a church in Toronto, Canada. Anybody familiar with that story? Heard of that? A little bit? It's an interesting story. During a sermon, people broke out in uncontrollable laughter, shaking and animal sounds, and being stuck to the floor, which they termed that Holy Ghost glue. Now, this might be an extreme example, but there are more common terms that we've heard of, being slain in the Spirit, which means when you fall over and the Spirit comes upon you. And in general, the belief is that the presence of the Holy Spirit, or the amount of His presence, is shown by escalating nature of emotion or actions. And so when the word Holy Spirit is given, some people immediately gravitate to thinking about that particular kind of action or emotion or expression. Simply, the amount of emotion experienced or displayed or felt during a worship time is often used or looked at as an indicator of the presence of the Holy Spirit among us to a lesser or greater degree. And you can debate whether that should or should not be the case. Well, it is definitely true that the Holy Spirit inhabits us and controls us. It is also true that on the day of Pentecost, the believers spoke in tongues or other languages. However, some of these other evidences that have been seen through history are simply not recorded in Scripture. They're not there. You can't find them. The Holy Spirit is promised to all who repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find that in Acts 2:38, where Peter states that. It's promised to all who repent and believe. Not just a particular group of Christians or believers. Who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not necessarily linked to emotional experience. Now, this may not be the area where there is the most confusion or misunderstanding and disagreement among Christians, but it's probably close. It's one of those areas that there's a lot of arguing about. Christians are all over the map on the understanding of the Holy Spirit and what His role is in our lives. And so I want to invite you to study with me what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. If you can, set aside some of your preconceived ideas about Baptists or Pentecostals or Mennonites or you name it. And let's see if we can just look at a fresh way again at what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. And what the Bible doesn't say. I think that's just as important. The day of Pentecost is a day of tremendous significance to us who are believers and followers of Jesus Christ. This truly is a day of celebration for us. And as we study this, I hope we all grasp that idea, that understanding of what a tremendous day of celebration this is. What happened this day provides tremendous hope for us in living our life out here on this earth. And I, for one, at times need to be reminded of that kind of hope that we have. Now, I won't be able to answer all the questions today that I've raised, and I'm sure you may have other questions, but I plan to take several Sundays to examine what Scripture has to say about the promise, the coming, and the continuing ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I'd invite you to have your own discussions about it, maybe with your spouse or your friends. Allow this time to maybe stimulate some of the conversations among yourselves, some of the questions that you may have about the Holy Spirit. And use that time to discuss. And even if you have questions for me, I'd welcome them. So if you have questions that you'd like me to consider in preparation, bring them to me, and I'd be glad to look at them. To begin with, I think we need to clearly understand, first of all, who the Holy Spirit is. And we won't cover this a lot this morning because we'll be talking about this all along the way. But it's clear if we look in Scripture that the Holy Spirit is God. We will see this fact become more clear as we study. Jesus, at the end of His ministry, said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." God is Father, God is Son, and God is Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit possesses all the attributes that God possesses. We see Him involved in creation in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. It says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And if you read the account of creation, you see that it is a plural word used for God, referring to the fact that God is plural. God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. We see Him all throughout the Old Testament. The Spirit of the Lord coming upon people like Moses and Gideon and David and enabled them to do amazing and powerful things. And in the New Testament, Jesus promises the permanent coming of the Holy Spirit to all who believe on His name. Well, today I want to look at that promise, the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave. The Holy Spirit was promised by Jesus to the disciples no less than 5 times. And 4 of those are found in the Gospel of John, scattered through the chapters of 14, 15, and 16. And that is where we're going to focus our study today. And if you get a moment this week, I would suggest that you read those chapters again. Just to familiarize yourself with the context. We're going to talk a lot about this context of why Jesus gave these promises to the disciples at this time. Firstly, look in John 14, verse 16. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." If we drop down to verse 26, it says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name." And if we jump to chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus says, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." And then verse 13 in chapter 16, "But when He, the Spirit of Truth, comes..." So we see here in these two chapters four different times that Jesus references the coming of the Holy Spirit. Can anyone tell me in this section of Scripture, what is the setting here that Jesus gives these promises? Anybody know, without looking, what the setting is that Jesus gives these promises? What is happening here? Where are they at? If I want to venture a guess? This is the Last Supper, and that is the context. This is the last evening that Jesus is spending with His disciples. And in John, we'll find the most teaching written of what Jesus talked to His disciples about on that particular evening. And I think it's very significant of what was happening this evening as to why these promises were given at this time. It was really the calm before the storm. We know that change was in the wind, and from this night on, things would never be the same. It is this night that Jesus would be betrayed, arrested, and that the disciples would be scattered. This is the last evening they would be together, as they had been over the last 3 years. Most of them probably had spent the last 3 years with Jesus. They had abandoned their families, their occupations, their reputations. They had put their dreams and aspirations aside to follow Jesus. And in John 13:33, He says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for Me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." Well, how would you feel? Their life was Jesus. They had been with Him constantly. He was the one who taught them. He was the one who led them. He was the one who amazed the people with His teaching. He was the one who performed the miracles and cast out demons. He was the one who debated the religious leaders so effectively. He was the one that they loved. They depended on Him. They needed Him. All their hopes and their dreams rested on Him. And now He tells them He's leaving. Do you understand the raw emotion felt by Jesus and His disciples on this last evening they spent together? I'm sure probably some of you have faced separation from a loved one. Or even know that it's coming in the future. From my own experience, I think in looking at the separation when my father passed away, the significant time in my life, in some ways it relates to this story. Our fathers, our parents are people who give us direction. They're ones who lead us. They're ones who give us advice. And even now, like 20 years later, I find myself thinking every so often, you know, I wish that I could ask my dad about that. What would my dad do in this situation? Or even when I'm studying, how would my dad understand this scripture? Or what is my dad experiencing in his, what was he experiencing in his walk with God? What were the struggles that he went through? I find myself thinking those things. You've had your own times of separation, whether it's through death or whether it's just somebody moving out of the area. Times where you've been close to someone. And maybe it is somebody who's giving lots of input into your life, somebody that you've depended on a lot. Do you remember the feelings, the pain of impending loss, the dread of separation, the flood of emotions? See, the closer the person is to you, the greater the sense of acute loss that you feel. And I think the word loss might be the best way to describe it, especially if it's someone you looked up to, someone who guided you, someone who taught you, someone who led you. And maybe you ask questions like, what is my purpose in life? How do I carry on without this person? Or even, why do I want to carry on without this person in my life?
Peter said,
I will lay down my life for you. And all the others said the same. They didn't understand. They didn't know what was happening. As our children grow closer to adulthood, I find myself wondering from time to time what that fateful day will be like when they leave. It's getting closer each day, and it seems like time is just rushing by, and sooner or later I know I'm going to face that first time when one of them leaves home. What will that be like? Well, it will be a day of sadness and a day of excitement. We will have invested, Doris and I, many years of teaching and training, of protecting and molding, and now they're going to be on their own. Are they ready? Have Doris and I prepared them well enough? And we know from that point on, things will never quite be the same like they were before. The transition, it's a change, and from that point forward, things are going to be different. What will it be like? What will we say that last evening together before they leave the next day? What will we do together? Well, I don't know exactly what we would say, but my guess is that we would try to reassure them and probably try to reassure ourselves. We would try to comfort them. We would probably even try to get in the last few points of advice, try and summarize everything that we've taught them over the last 18 years. Hopefully, we'll keep it short. We would help them to see how everything is going to work out fine. We would try to understand their fears of the future and this change themselves that they're going to be experiencing. Help them to understand that we will be there for them, that we're not abandoning them. And maybe even more clearly than ever before, that might be a time where we try and express how much we love them before they leave. You've experienced that. Sometimes it comes down to, for whatever reason, it takes those events in our life to really express and say how we really feel about those who are close to us. Well, this is exactly some of the things that Jesus did that evening. We find in chapter 13, if you look at the beginning of chapter 13, says Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. It says, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And many of you are familiar with the account here of how Jesus served the disciples, how he washed their feet. In chapter 14, it begins, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." And finally, he promises them the Holy Spirit. We can see clearly how Jesus is reassuring them that everything is going to be okay, even if I am not here. Everything is going to be fine. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I love you. And then he promises them the Holy Spirit four different times during this evening. God the Father will send the Holy Spirit to be with you. Well, there's a word used to describe the Holy Spirit in each of these, well, several of these cases here. The NIV translates it comforter, or counselor, I believe. And the King James translates it comforter. The Greek word, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this correct, is the word paraclete, which is not really captured very well with one word English translations. The word comforter, counselor, helper, advocate are all wrapped up in this one Greek word, paraclete. What is Jesus reassuring them of? What is he reassuring us of? Well, I'd like to finish by looking and pulling out of each of these passages here what we learn about the Holy Spirit. And so I'd like you to start with John chapter 14. Look at these verses with me. And we'll look starting at verse 15. John chapter 14. Verse 15. What do we learn about the Holy Spirit, this promise that Jesus is giving us? Well, we see that He will be with us forever. We also see from these verses that He is the Spirit of truth. It says that we will know Him and that He will live in us. It says that He will be with us. We see each of these in these verses, 15 through 18, descriptions of the Holy Spirit and what His role is going to be, what He's like, what He's going to do. Then if we drop down to verse 26, we have the statement that He is the Holy Spirit. We also see that He will teach us all things. And that He will remind us of everything that Jesus taught, everything that Jesus said. In chapter 15, verse 26, we see that He is the Spirit of truth, that He goes out from the Father, that He testifies about Jesus. And then in chapter 16, verse 8, we see that He will convict the world of guilt. And then dropping down chapter 16, verse 13, it says that He will guide us into all truth, that He will speak only what He hears, coming from the Father, that He will tell us what is to come, and that He will bring glory to Jesus. In these few verses here, we learn a lot about the Holy Spirit. About what He's going to do in our life. About how He's going to help us. I, for one, need this kind of reassurance. I find living the Christian life often very challenging. I feel overwhelmed often with what God has placed me here to do. The evil in the world often overwhelms me. I look around me, read the papers, watch the news. I feel helpless sometimes in watching the evil occur around me in the world. The evil in my own heart overwhelms me at times. But I struggle with sin, things that I keep doing that I don't want to do. Sometimes it's overwhelming, discouraging to me. Sometimes in the world I feel like a fish out of water. And I feel like I'm all alone at times. Does anybody ever feel that way as a believer, as a Christian? Other times I feel confused, faced with tough decisions, not knowing which way to turn, difficult circumstances. And I think sometimes, Jesus, it would be so much easier if you were here and I could ask you what to do in this situation, or I could watch what you do. Maybe you think that sometimes it would be easier if Jesus was here. Why did you leave me here alone? I don't know about you, but things that I do don't always turn out the way that I expect them to. Sometimes I do things and they fail. And I get discouraged and I'm tempted to give up on the things that God has given me to do. It is all these times that I need to be reminded that God is with me. God is my Father. He's the rock that I stand on. He's my fortress. We sung about that this morning. An ever-present help in time of trouble. Jesus, God, the Son, experienced all things that I experienced. He was tempted in every way. He knows exactly how I feel and what temptation is like. He loved me so much that He gave His own life for me. And God the Holy Spirit lives right inside of me forever, teaching me, telling me what is truth, guiding me, empowering me, enabling me to do things far beyond what I could ever do on my own. This is the kind of encouragement that I need. This is the kind of assurance that I need. And I believe that evening that Jesus spent with His disciples, He wanted them to understand that He was not leaving them alone. That somebody was going to be there, not just beside them, but residing inside of them, to help them all along the way, each step of the way. And if you think about what happened during the next few days for the disciples, their life was tipped upside down. And Jesus was preparing them for that. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what they were going to be feeling. And He had been preparing them for 3 years for Himself to leave and for them to carry on the work through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew what they needed to hear. He gave them reassurance. And this day that we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit should be a time of celebration for us. Because we know that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, teaching us, helping us, and guiding us, empowering us to do the things that God has for us to do. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. For it is Your power at work within us. I thank You for these promises that we can stand on. And Lord, I pray that as we continue to study and look at who the Holy Spirit is and what His role is in our lives, You give us understanding, that You would give us clarity. And if we have some misunderstanding about who He is or what He is doing, that You would clear that up in our minds. Help us to understand Your Word clearly. And we know that even now, Your Spirit is at work within us, interpreting, helping us to understand who You are, helping us to understand Your Word. And we give thanks for that. Lord, I ask your blessing on each person here who believes in you. And Lord, we anticipate what you're going to do through each one, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to remember that you are right there with us, inside of us, each step of the way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.